I said, I'm naked, and you came all in.
That's not what happened. It's sort of what happened. Well, hello there. My name is H. Shelby, and thank you so much for watching listening to episode 59 of the Tone Junkie Podcast. I could do it again if you want me to do it on video.
Can we actually make this episode 69?
Oh, no, that's 10 episodes away. This is going to be a rough one. I'll do it again. 69. But we're leaving the whole top in there. All right, I'm not going to edit this out.
All right, hang on. You ready?
You ready? You got it on film now?
I'm running it.
Well, hello there. My name is HW, and thank you so much for listening to episode 59 of the Tone Junkie Podcast. My, how far we've come. No coffee today, not on the porch, just water. And I got a whole host of friends today on the podcast. Sometimes it's just me, but today there's everybody. The Worship Toro guys are here, Bradford and Brian.
Hello.
Jem is here, the immortal. You've seen him on Gear Talk Praise and Worship. You've seen his vlogs. And we've got Curtis Lamberton, who is in the middle of installing some pickups.
That's right.
You're literally putting in pickups in my guitar right now.
Yes, I am.
I'm really excited. What are we calling these? Risottos?
No. They're
tortellinis?
Tortellinis, also the new tortellini. Inaccurate.
Have you ever thought about starting another pickup company in which all of the pickups
Italian food?
Are named pastas. After, yeah, just like linguine. Just pastas, you know?
The cannolis.
The lasagna?
The lasagna caster? Lasagna. The lasagna-trons.
There's an episode of Seinfeld where Kramer does this.
Bobka.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's gonna happen.
But. You're really.
Okay. If you make a set of Les Paul pickups,
hold on, I gotta get this.
That are zebras, you can call it. You can call it a black and white Bobka.
That would be a good.
Oh, there you go.
Black and white Bobka.
So you're literally Bobka. Right now Bobka. Installing Ristretto.
Ristretto.
The new Ristretto P90 pickups.
Yes.
That
which
you're...
P90s are not to be confused with Jazzmaster pickups, but they commonly are.
Right.
What are
of course.
Pickups?
Yeah.
What are they?
So the difference between P90s and Jazzmasters, uh-huh. I'm so glad you asked, Jim. A Jazzmaster, the actual pull pieces are magnets themselves.
Wow.
So it's similar to like a Strat type
yeah.
of a pickup where each individual pull piece that sits underneath the string is a magnet. P90s, the pull pieces are just stainless steel screws. And then there's magnet bars that sit underneath, similar to a humbucker. Humbucker has one magnet bar, but the P90s have two.
Wow.
And they actually, the phase of the pickup of the magnets oppose each other, and when they touch the screws in the middle, it creates that very strong magnetic field that gives that P90 growl.
Wow.
That iconic sound.
Yeah.
This could just be a podcast about... what makes pickups what they are.
I'm letting something
know.
Be today.
Me too.
That would be pretty cool.
So, tell me about these Ristrettos.
Yeah. So the Ristretto is a special project that I started working on.
Just for HW.
Just for HW after working on them for David Ryan Harris.
Ooh, name drop.
David, I've heard of him.
He's an
yeah.
okay guy.
Uh-huh.
He's an okay player. He plays for a reasonable musician.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad.
But started with a secret last minute project to combat some other just desires for a different tone out of a traditional P90 pickup design.
Yeah.
And so I started from the ground up, changing different wire types, magnet combinations, all the different variables that you know that I deal with pickup design, and came up with something that if you only looked at the resistance output of the pickup itself, you would wonder, how does it even work? Because it's such a
low
resistance output. Yeah, the neck pickup measures 3.35K.
But they do work?
They do work.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they're actually in Bradford's guitar. Who's the first person to have these in a guitar?
Josh Williams
uh-huh.
in the prototype form for David Ryan Harris.
And then?
And it was Brian.
Hey.
Brian Wall in his Shelton.
In the Shelton Galaxy Flight.
Yes.
Three.
And then?
Then it was Bradford in his Tone Master Elliot.
Wow.
And then?
HW.
There we go. There we go. Yay. Okay.
We made it.
There we go.
And then? Look how happy he is.
So pretty much made for me.
So happy.
So good.
Why are P90s just so great? Like, why do I love them so much? Why does anyone use anything else?
Because they're... well, people use other stuff because they're so loud. They're so noisy.
Right.
And so if you don't know how to control your volume well, or if you're on stage at a church with lots of lights and lots of EMF frequencies and RF frequency, like, interference, then you're just really going to feel that hum or dirty power or whatnot.
Yeah.
So that's a deterrent to P90s. Why people love them is because they're so dynamic.
Yeah, they really are.
The magnetic field on these are so strong in comparison to other pickups that they really capture the way the fingers play. So if you're a dynamic player, if you do finger picking, you know, rock and roll, But if you love those kind of dynamics, then P90s for you.
Mm-hmm. Jesus played P90s.
Jesus played P90s.
I'm pretty sure of it.
Question.
Yeah.
Is a P90 a single coil?
Yes. P90. A traditional P90 is a single coil. Yeah. There are some silent P90s, but to my knowledge, to my understanding, they can't really be considered a single coil anymore.
Sure, right.
Okay.
Because... the nature of a single coil is going to be noisy. It can't be hum canceling.
Bradford, you have played these pickups.
Mm-hmm.
You have them in a guitar.
Yeah.
For legal reasons, we won't say which guitar.
You already did.
I don't believe I did.
You already did. You already did.
I don't believe I did.
We'll have to bleep that out later.
I promise I'll edit that out later. How would you describe these pickups?
I would describe them like Cremas, but better.
Wow.
I would also describe them that way.
They only, not in the sense that it's like all Curtis can do is make Cremas in different forms. Not like that. They have that, like, that chime, but they still have, like, they have a different kind of growl than the Cremas. So, I mean, they're similar in the sense that they just have that, like, sparkle thing. Not like a Sparkletron. Is that a thing? Sparkletron a thing?
Sparkletron.
That's
what it is. But not sparkly, like really high and brittle. It just, you know, it's got some grit, but it's not as gritty as a P90, but when you, traditional P90, but it's got like a, I was saying this earlier, it's like singy. Like, that's just, like, a great word to describe
singy.
It. Because, like, when you play a lead line, it's just kind of like...
Like Adele singy or like Miley Cyrus singy?
More like Sam Smith singy.
But did you hear Miley doing Jolie? That was pretty good.
No.
That's like 200 million hits on YouTube.
I don't keep up with the
it's
pop culture.
It's pretty good. It's, like, really singy.
Real singy.
Can we see
it's really singy.
Do a cover of Jolie?
Go ahead.
I don't think I know the song very well.
I did
hear Miley Cyrus sing that. That was beautiful, boys.
Please don't something.
But I really like the P90s a lot.
Yeah. Have these become the pickups of your main guitar? What's your main guitar these days? Is it the Tele or the other one?
Every guitar I have, I'm an equal opportunity
equal
guitar
opportunity player.
Amen.
That's
such a safe.
If I had to go down to two guitars, I'd have to think about it. But like, the more guitars I get, the more guitars I want.
Mm-hmm.
Because then it's like, okay,
that's my problem.
It's like, well, now I need a Gretsch. Okay, well, now I need a 335. Well, now I need like an L5.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, now I need a real Jazzmaster. Like, percussive mastery, like that kind of thing. So,
yeah, totally.
I've been playing Brian's Doozy, formerly Brian's Doozy, formerly Bradford's Doozy, a lot lately.
good one.
Does it still have the original pickups in it?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Reverse out of phase in the middle position?
Yeah.
What did we see at NAMM today that we were excited about?
Stu G.
You guys did... You did see Stu G.
Lincoln Brewster.
We're
best friends now.
Are you best friends, you and Lincoln?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Bradford.
Does Lincoln know that?
Tell HW about the red panda.
Yo.
Oh yeah, you wanted to see that new trim, right?
Oh, sick.
Red panda.
That was Swindler. We can get to that too.
Swindler's specs. Okay.
Yeah. Swindler's trim is dope.
Wow.
What was the red panda?
Really? Because you're a trim guy.
Yeah, it was awesome. Also, their chorus is awesome, too. It's stereo. But let's go to... They... Not to just bypass over them. They... Drew is his name, right? Yeah, Drew is his name.
Yeah.
I met so many people today. I'm trying to keep everything, and I'm extremely tired. No offense, Drew. I'm sorry if you're listening. The effects are... They're just very clean, very pure, very great.
Mm.
The Red Panda did, like... this like reverse thing, but like it's what I've always wanted reverse delay to do, because like as you're playing, it's like you can set how quickly it comes back, so it's like you played something and then somebody takes a, like if a record player is spinning and you let a part of a song play but then you push it back to hear the part you just heard,
right,
like it's that kind of reverse,
but it was adapted to your timing.
Yeah, and it was different, like you could set it to like fit your timing in real time.
Did it have different subdivisions you could change the reverse to as well?
He was explaining a lot of different things it could do, and I was just fascinated, because like it was like you could set the dry blend so it could be completely affected or not, but like it was real cool because I really like messing with glitchy buzzy stuff, and that was killer. I'm very
cool.
Excited about that.
I'm gonna have to check that out tomorrow.
Yeah, it's been out for a while. They're at a booth with like six different pedals.
Yeah, like one of those stomp
like
booths.
Walrus, I don't even think is technically there this year. They just have like a pedal board.
Was it that
basically
boutique building
mm-hmm
section?
It was close to the drums.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yeah, so Walrus was there. Rat, or who, Proco? Is that
Proco Rat, yeah.
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 Did you know that while we were talking about that,
James Duke walked by and I didn't get to see him?
That did happen.
Oh, you mean?
I mean
now.
Just now.
Curtis finished?
The pickups are magically in the guitar.
Yeah.
They're just in there now.
That was pretty quick.
That's what happens when you buy a set of pickups and I come out.
Do you want to plug into the human?
It's amazing. I actually do want to.
Yeah.
I do, and I want to try that new...
This is our new patch.
That new... With the new KOT. Mm-hmm. Right?
That new.
The new 2.8 with KOT.
Do
you
have a strap?
Well,
strap.
Yeah. We're going to test this out.
Yeah,
because
you can
come
over here and
strap.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a strap.
So, did anyone check out the Gibson booth today?
Yeah, huge.
Oh my goodness.
Massive.
Enormous. They brought, it was like they didn't bring any guitars last year, so they brought them all this year.
Were they all authentic?
Right.
Yeah, they were authentic, except for they had some Kramers that were shaped like Strats, which I thought was funny to have at the booth.
Interesting.
It's a weird choice. I'm not sure who didn't get that. Like, they had Kramer-shaped guitars that are as close to other companies' designs. But you know what I'm saying? It was interesting. I mean, nobody was checking out the Kramers, but they still had more or less Strat-style guitars
at
the
Gibson
booth. When I think the critique is that other people have Gibson-shaped guitars at their companies, right? It's a little funny.
That's hilarious.
It's a little funny, but they had some really cool guitars. The new Les Paul Moderns were really
great
cool.
Too.
Yeah. Who else do we see? Lincoln Brewster. I saw Lincoln. I think he was playing like fours or fives on his guitar. they were like the lightest strings. I mean, they were probably nines. Maybe they were eights. They were crazy light though. They looked. And I got a good video that's going up on YouTube. Him talking about the thing. It's a cool. It's compound radius neck. Do you know how much it is?
Wasn't it like
$12.99, $15, something. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
What was it? $1,999.
It might have been. That sounds right.
Yeah, it was
under
$2.
I bet it was $19.99. That sounds right.
The reason I thought it was cheaper, but I mean, still, American Strat that's got DiMarzios.
And Signature as well.
And it's got a couple boost circuits in it.
Yeah, it's got a mid boost circuit. It's got a compound radius neck. It's got a trem, two point trem. It's got mid boost, and then he had like the five position, like removed the tone pot. So it was like hotter going out, you know.
Yeah, right.
It did that sort of trick thing. I mean, it's a pretty cool show.
My exciting thing is Elliott guitars. I've never seen Elliott guitars because we don't have them in Australia. Also,
they would be $30,000 after taxes in Australia.
And also getting to meet one of my guitar heroes, Matt Hoops of Reliant
Mitchell.
K.
Bradford Mitchell,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Who'd you meet?
Matt Hoops of Reliant K.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And 1981 FX.
Was he there?
He was there.
I didn't see him.
He was there walking around.
When we...
Did he have a board of 1981s next to a rat board?
He did.
Because there was a rat board at NAMM.
He did. That was he was explaining to me that he wanted to set up like a mini Reliant K setup.
Right.
Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
That's a cool pedal. So I just did a video checking out the 1981.
Was that the ultimate overdrive shootout?
It was. Right. It was, and it's going along one part at a time. But it that's a really cool pedal. That's a really cool pedal for sure.
HW, Curtis is testing your pickups out through the Helix that we brought.
Well.
He said he needed to make a pickup height adjustment, so that's what he's currently doing for you.
Nice. So he's really getting these dialed in.
He's doing it right.
Question for HW.
Yeah.
How do you like your pickup set? Do you like it to be, more quieter or something a bit more hotter to your dynamic?
I mean, I don't really know. I guess I judge the pickups based on how I encounter the guitar, you know what I mean? So, like, I've never really adjusted the stuff too much. I feel like if I'm having to adjust the pickup height, I'm usually fighting stuff I can never really get rid of. I never really have great luck, like, raising and lowering pickups. Usually if I'm trying to adjust it, it's like something's too boomy or something's too bright. And I feel like even after I adjust it, those problems are still there. You know what I mean? I have a 335 right now. It's a little, that the pickups are a little too, like, dark.
Is that the Greco?
A little too bassy, yeah, yeah. A little too bassy in the neck, and I can't really adjust it out. Well, I think I need to go try these new P90s.
You want to keep the podcast going while you give it a try and talk about it?
Well, let's come back for part two. I want to talk about these pickups. You should try them too, Jim.
I will.
And then we'll see what Bradford means by singy. All right. Part two coming up.
So, I've been
HW.
No, we're not ending yet.
I've been Bradford. I'm going to bed.
All right. Good night. All right, part two. We played the Ristrettos. They're so freaking good.
They are really, really good. I'm very, very impressed.
This is what I would say, like, immediately. Like, this is what I would say overall. If someone said, how do they sound? It sounds like a Bethel record.
You could say that.
Because we were putting on a lot of, like, mid-rangey gain, and they maintain... like a lot of like high-end clarity, a lot of articulation, almost to the point that you're like, wow, there's sort of, the pickup remains with sort of a clean characteristic even when you put on a lot of gain. You hear the gain, but in the high end, there's this sort of definition, this articulation to the high end that almost is reminiscent of a cleanish guitar.
Mm-hmm. And then you mix that gain with delay and reverb, it still cuts through and it's still really articulate and clean.
It really does sound, like, I don't know, to me, as soon as I just, you know, played two notes, I was like, well, this sounds like a Bethel record.
Yeah, I literally, you know, strummed, like, two notes, like, without any of the effects.
High praise.
Like,
I think that's high praise.
That's high praise.
I mean that in a good way. I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
how would I describe it? It definitely doesn't sound like any other P90 in a way where it's like, if I were to compare it to something like an Elliott Termaster, it's like comparing apples to oranges. They're they're very different characters. It's like
Did you play a Tonemaster today?
I did play a Tonemaster today. It was my first time playing one today.
Bradford says a Tonemaster's more...
like a rock and roll.
Like brash. Kind of thing.
Yeah,
raw,
which I like, because I play a lot of that kind of style. But this has its... They have their own unique voice and different characteristics. Like, if I would describe this, the Ristrettos, it's clean, but it's not wimpy. It still has a bit of balls.
I was worried about that like the bridge would be a little too wimpy or something. Like, with all that high end, there wasn't going to be enough mid range. But it's not, it's not wimpy actually at all.
And it's the high end isn't harsh and piercing. It's really it's really punchy, clear, but definitely, like, I didn't need to roll my tone.
I get the singy thing that Bradford's talking about, because it's not like a Tele high-end.
No, it's not.
It's not like...
It's a
P90. I don't even want to say it's not super present, because it's present, but it's not... It's not like...
Almost humbuckerish. Not really humbuckers, but it's definitely a P90.
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely on the... I mean, it's not like a super pushed mid-rangey.
No,
like
it's not like the G Shirley, like, Elliott either.
Yeah, like it's I actually thought it sounded like a big Strat at first, like in the neck.
Yeah, it's not like a Tele.
Yeah. But when you start adding gain, it was really clear still.
Mm-hmm. It had that throaty thing in the lows.
We both just tried it on a Helix through
the 2.8 update.
The 2.8 update through Brian and Bradford's like their new patch.
Yeah.
The match JMP.
And which JMP doesn't have anything to do with Marshall JMP. It's Jump.
Jump. And the IRs were Tone Jockey IRs.
They are Tone Jockey. It's a good sounding patch. It's a really good sounding patch.
It is a really good sounding patch. That delay and reverb sounds huge.
There was, that was really fun to play.
And the new drives, the King of Tones and the Zen Drive are great.
So the King of Tone has a lot of mid-range there and like really aggressive. And that reminds me a lot of the King of Tone, the real King of Tone that I play and the Kemper Profile.
And that's your favorite O-drive, ain't it?
Yeah. I mean, every week I play a profiles of a King of Tone into an AC30. So I feel like I know that sound pretty well. I feel like I got a good taste of what this guitar is doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really excited about it, actually.
This guitar is really awesome to play.
It is. This Don Grosch is actually really... It's super loud.
Uh-huh.
Why is it so loud?
Uh-huh. It is a loud sound.
As soon as I got up and you started playing, I realized everybody could hear every note I was playing, even though I had the headphones on. It was like you couldn't... Yeah, super loud guitar.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's a really fun guitar, and the pickups...
Now, haven't even played the Cremas yet.
No, we haven't.
No, they're going in right now.
This is my first, like, Lambertones experience.
Brian.
Yes, sir?
Cremas versus Ristrettos. How do you describe it?
So, I think that I like the Ristrettos better.
You think these are the best.
I think it's a matter of taste.
Now I want to try these other ones.
I like to let the... Here's the thing. The Cremas are... a lot of people are familiar with them because a lot of people have bought them. Because they're really popular.
Mm-hmm.
And they... Everyone says... Now, Curtis is sitting right over here. So
he's just...
He can interject.
He's just working on pickups right now.
Yeah.
He's working on getting...
Everyone says that the Crema is a single coil sounding humbucker. But I don't believe that's true.
Right.
Because I do think they're a little lower output, they're a little brighter, but they sound like a humbucker with just way more sparkle and chime and clarity on the top end. So they sound like a little bit bigger than the Ristretto, I think. I don't know, would you say that's true, Curtis? Maybe not bigger.
I don't think it's bigger, I think it's like more rounder.
I mean,
more
like a humbucker.
Yeah. Like, more like a humbucker, just because of the nature of, like, what a humbucker does and how the humbucker is actually built.
Right.
With a wider magnetic field that you're actually, interpolating, like, frequency of the strings and whatnot, it's going to be just a little bit of a little bit, what's the term we use? I've already lost it.
Round?
Sparkles.
Rounder tone.
Right. I'm just impressed that we used the word interpolate on the podcast today.
Punchy though and dynamic, like
for sure. That has to do with the magnets.
Yeah.
Also, like the type of magnets.
You get really good like string definition out of them.
These need extra long shafts.
It's okay if we can't split the Cremas. I'll live.
I'm not gonna split the Cremas today.
It's okay.
So you get like really good string definition with them too. You hear everything, even under a lot of gain.
That's what I felt like with these Ristrettos. Like
it's the same experience.
I feel like that's why I am saying it sounds like a Bethel record, right? It's like it has like, the brightness and those like mid rangey push tones.
I've never liked humbuckers that much.
Yeah.
Until I played Cremas.
Yeah.
And so, I love them, but I would say maybe the reason that I think the Ristretto sound better is maybe I'm a single coil guy.
Yeah. I was going to say, are you a humbucker, a single coil guy?
I mean, I love Telecasters and, I like single coils.
sometimes you want a little more beef in it.
And yeah. this gives you that beef in it. Yeah.
Well,
you're about to
I'm excited to try these at home, and I want to try these Kremas in a little bit.
Saturday's going to be a good day.
Saturday's going to be a good
play,
day.
Play some good gear.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Uh-huh. You guys are very kind.
No, you're good at making pickups, I think.
We're being honest as well, and yeah, you're great at making
Look,
pickups.
Worse comes to worse. I mean, I like these. You'll get out of here batting 500. I mean, people go to the Hall of Fame with that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
500, you're the best. You're the best player in the league, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I'm sure I'm going to love these. I'm actually really looking forward to trying these Kremas.
I'm looking forward to trying the Kremas.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I'm starting to get a taste of the Lambertones hype.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
Lambertones has a sound.
Yeah, I think that's the thing.
Maybe less of a sound, but more of like a signature. Like,
mm-hmm.
clarity, definition, like really, really sparkly, awesome. Chimey top end. Like,
let's call it interpolation.
Yeah. So the Blondie. So of all the pickups of theirs, I played Blondie's Habit in a Telecaster.
Mm-hmm.
Ristretto's Habit in a P90.
Mm-hmm.
The Kremas Habit in a humbucker. The Grinder has it in a different flavor of humbucker.
Yeah.
Right?
Dude, you need to pull the Strat out.
Oh, yes.
Oh, it has triple shots.
Yeah.
I haven't even heard those.
And then the Jazzmaster version of the Ristretto's are also there.
So you just put them in a different house.
Yeah. Jazzmaster cover.
Let me try that Grinder because I'm a big
you know,
oh no, it's a Crema.
Oh, it's a Crema. Oh, okay, never mind. Yeah,
I gotta try this Strat. I totally forgot.
Wait, you have a guitar with Cremas in that case?
Just
the
bridge.
Crema in the bridge, but not the neck.
Oh, what's in the neck?
That's triple shot.
It's the Strat.
HSS.
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta try that. Yeah.
Dude, pull that thing.
Okay, we gotta try that.
HSS is my personal favorite configuration that we can
have. Okay, time to end the Tone Junkie podcast. We have guitars to play.
Bye.
Uh-huh. All right, bye. HW, out.